Let me read this intro and then we'll have some prayer. In the New Testament local body of believers, the need of Christian service is evident in order to fully function as a local church. When believers have the mind set for service, the privilege as well as the responsibility of Christian service is realized. And Chaz, would you lead us to the throne of grace? Amen. Now, when it comes to Christian service, this is a certain mindset. This is a certain viewpoint. And realizing we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, we realize it's out of gratitude, right? We heard a good devotion from Nathan last night along this line, so this must be God's message for us. Service is with the realization we've been redeemed. We've been set free, purchased by God, by His blood, redeemed, set free in order to voluntarily serve. And it is a voluntary thing. Now let me read the definition. Please go, if you will, to Romans 1. The word servant, it's a Greek word doulos. There are different Greek words. This is the primary thought, though, with serving the Lord. It means a bond slave and one that is totally devoted to the will of another. It speaks of subjection, now very important, without the idea of bondage. In other words, this is voluntary subjection. Satan would like to turn this around, you know. If God is a hard taskmaster, He's expecting this and this of you. Well, actually, He saved us by His grace, and we're under His grace. We stand in grace, and voluntary service is what He's looking for. If it isn't voluntary service, it really isn't real good service. And so this is what He's looking for. And it is a part of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read Romans 1, where Paul identifies himself as such. Paul, a servant, a bond slave, doulos of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So Paul reveled in that, it seemed like. He rejoiced in that. I'm a servant, like in Acts 27:23, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm identified as such. And let's go to John 12:26. We want to always see it as a privilege. It is the highest of privileges to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of my dad. He was in sales and marketing, and he, at the end, he had several different jobs, ended up with a good one, and at the end he said, "It's not how much money you make, it's not what you do, it's who you work for." And that stuck in my mind. Well, it's true when it comes to service. It's who you work for. You know, it's whom you're serving. And when you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the best. He is a wonderful Savior and Master. In John chapter 12 and verse 26. Well, let me read the context, if I may. 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So it is a matter of following the Lord. In other words, this is connected with discipleship. What following the Lord is. This is connected with devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something personal. If it's not something personal between you and the Lord, it really doesn't have much significance. In fact, the Lord is looking at what sort of works we have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, He's looking at the quality. He's looking at the motive, the faith, the love, so forth. Now, first point that we're going to look at is we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the expression of that is we're servants to God's people. Now, to be a servant of Jesus Christ is to have the same disposition as Christ, who took upon Him the form of a servant. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Now, Jesus, we know, was in the form of God. He is God, but that outward manifestation of His glory was there in heaven. But then He took on another form, right? didn't cease to be God, but he took on another form. It's the word morphe, and it means this actually was his inner nature, but now it's manifested as such in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, literally it means he emptied himself, took upon him the form of a servant, same word, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he went all the way in his serving, doing the will of the Father. But notice he took upon him the form of a servant. That was his inner desire, nature, and it was outwardly manifest. And so God would have us to have that same mind. Now, what was that mind? And this, Nathan brought this out in his devotion. Let's go to Psalm 40. Actually, let's go to Hebrews 10 because it quotes Psalm 40 in brief. Psalm 40, maybe I better read that. I'll go there because you have a little fuller explanation here that's connected with an important issue of the bond slave. In Psalm 40 in verse 6, we read, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Now literally it means pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And then Hebrews 10 applies this to Christ. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, which was the sacrifice of the cross. But notice, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now that's true service. That's where you want to please the Lord. This is something personal between you and him. It's like Paul said, he loved me, he gave himself for me. You know, he is the one I'm serving. I'm doing what I do to please him who died for me. So that there's the highest motivation. Now I won't turn to it, but Jesus, you might recall in John 4, he was ministering to the woman at the well. And the disciples went away to get some food, and they said, "Have he had anything to eat?" He said, "My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I have food to eat that you know not of." What was his food? I'll see if you're awake yet this morning. In that context, what was Jesus' spiritual meat food? I'm sorry? Amen. And he was reaching a lost soul, right? Was satisfied. He was fed by that. Well, it ought to be our food, our delight, our satisfaction. You know, you're satisfied by good food. And to do his will. Now, in John 8:29, maybe I won't turn there, Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. So Jesus was the perfect servant. In fact, he's called the servant of the Lord in the book of Isaiah. So we fall short. We don't do it perfectly. Admittedly, we're not in perfect devotion, are we? We aren't. Well, we miss things. We don't. Sometimes we get self-centered. Maybe not you, huh? and we don't completely do it. Well, Jesus did. That's the pattern. Let this mind be in you. And let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 11. Jesus, you know, he came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, he was all about serving others, doing the Father's will and ministering to man. In Isaiah 53:11, because of his mind to serve, we're saved. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, we have salvation. Now, that's what we're to emulate. And as believers, we are We are to be willing servants. I've listed this as a separate category because it's the very essence of what service is. And that very thought of being a bond slave, doulos, where you're devoted to the will of another. And why? Because you're on the altar. You're yielded as a sacrifice to him. Now, let's go to Exodus 21, where we see the thought behind this. In fact, this is connected with what it says of Jesus in Psalm 40. Mine ear hast thou opened or pierced. And it goes back to this thought. Exodus 21, 1. Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Okay, we are striking out here, folks. It is 21, verse 3. Verse 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her servant shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that was a bond servant. That was one who, out of love, wanted to serve for life. That's a picture of dedication. So with a willingness, we're to serve out of love, and then obeying from the heart with yieldedness. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. You know, everybody's serving someone, and the unsaved unwittingly are serving the devil. They just don't know it. And he pays very poor wages, by the way. Wages of sin is death. And he gives great promises, right? He did that to Adam and Eve. And God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as God. And look how restrictive God is. Has God said, you shall not eat of all the trees of the garden? You know, look how God is withholding something from you. In reality, it's the other way around. He that commits sin is the servant of sin. He's a slave to sin. But in the service of God, there's perfect freedom. There's His word is called the perfect law of liberty. You find liberty in your soul in serving God. So it's just the opposite of what the devil would say. Reminds me of the old billboards where they'd be advertising cigarettes. I guess legally they can't do that now. And there's a waterfall behind, and there's this couple, you know, and they're enjoying their cigarettes. And I think then they had to put the little thing on the head, may cause cancer, you know, death. And so it's a little bit misleading, you know, and that's the way Satan is. He'll mislead you. And let's go to Romans chapter 6. In verse 16, but voluntary service for the Lord. Now that ends up with eternal fruit. 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity even now, so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. You know, some young people, this is peculiar to a Christian home, they may think, I'm missing out on something out there in the world, you know. I've been so restricted in this conservative home. Well, it's a deception. And some of us were saved out of the world. It's a dead end. And so it's good to realize what a great privilege it is to serve the Lord willingly. Now, let's consider the manner of Christian service, and there's a whole lot to this, so I'm not sure if we'll get through our whole study this morning. First of all, we want to serve in faith. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:11. You know, the manner of service is very important. And the reason I thought this would be fitting is some of you are going to camp, and your life is not your own once you go to camp. You are serving, right? And you're thinking of the needs of the kids, and you're going to be serving all week long. It's a selfless thing. In 1 Peter 4:11, okay, this would have to do with teaching or preaching. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I realize that doesn't use the word faith, but the thought is you're depending on the Lord. We could do nothing without Him, and we're to trust Him for His grace and sufficiency when it comes to Christian service. You know, the hymn, Channels Only, Blessed Master, that's all we are. If there's anything good, it comes from Him. And then love. This is a big one. This is primary. In John chapter 21, if you were here a couple weeks ago, you heard from the missionary. That was a good illustration. If you have a list of rules over here, and they're good, okay, and commands, and then over here you've got the thought of love. Well, you got to combine them, or what do you have over here? Legalism. And you might think, if I could just do these things, I'm spiritual, quote unquote. Wrong. Because if you don't do it in faith, you don't do it in love, it's just an outward thing. And so God's looking at the heart, and the relationship with the Lord is the mainspring of this thing. Let's go to John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I think that's related to his claim, though all forsake you, Lord, I won't. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs, which means to shepherd my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, you know that was indelibly imprinted on Peter's mind. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do his will in whatever calling he has for you. He doesn't coerce the will. Again, this is a voluntary thing. But if we love the Lord, we're going to want to do his will. It's personal between us and him. Maybe service that people don't see, but it's always significant. There's no such thing, by the way, as anything insignificant in the service of the Lord. Anything done for Jesus, that goes into eternity. He has books. Did you know that? He keeps a record. And the book of Malachi talks about those who think upon his name and speak about him. Now let's go to Galatians 1. I want to spend a little time on this thought of singleness of heart, because this is also primary when it comes to Christian service. If you have a divided heart, you got several goals in life, it doesn't work in service. Pardon me. Galatians 1:10. It's like the man in seminary who, this really happened, he was in Philadelphia School of the Bible with Pastor Osborne, and he said, I'm going to make $500,000, and then I'm going to serve the Lord. He did, made $500,000. Then he made another $500,000. He never did serve the Lord. You can't do it. In Galatians 1:10, For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't worry about what everybody thinks. Just serve the Lord. It's devotion to him. Ephesians chapter 6. Now this has to do with a master-servant relationship. You can apply it to the job. Ephesians 6:6, Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So that doesn't mean you don't submit to the employer to please, but the thought is there's a higher motive, right, to please the Lord. And then please go to one more on this, Luke 16:13. This has the thought of you can't go two ways on this thing as far as having multi-goals. 16:13. Howbeit when... Wrong book. I had four grandkids in my house for a couple of days. You got to give me a little grace here. 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was the money god. You can't do it. Remember the silver mine and Pilgrim's Progress and the temptation, I think it was Faithful that said to Christian, let's go down in the silver mine. We can get rich along with serving the Lord and on our way to the celestial city. But he noticed all those that went down into the silver mine never came out. That's the way it is. Can't serve God and mammon. And then let's go to Romans chapter 12. Did you ever work with somebody that they're really a slow pace and they don't seem to get things done, and it's like the sloth, you know, and there's a Cleveland Zoo in the rainforest. He's very interesting. You gotta be there at the right time though if you want to see him move, you know. Well, you don't want to be that way in Christian service. In Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We want to be fervent about it. Is our heart in it, or do we have a zeal? And then let's go to a summary passage, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved unto men. Righteousness, peace, joy. You know, there's many a person who's attempted to serve the Lord, and maybe there's sin in their life. That won't work. And peace, that's where you're in fellowship with God. And joy, right? These things are byproducts of you're in communion with the Lord. I want to turn to Deuteronomy 28, because it's a significant passage that deals with joyfully serving the Lord, realizing the privilege of it. This is at the end of, you have the blessings and the cursings for Israel. And one of the reasons God would judge them, and he did, is because they didn't count it a privilege to serve the Lord. They turned to false gods, idols. Deuteronomy 28:47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, we want to watch our attitude. You know, the book of Malachi talks about the priests or the people. What a weariness is it, the table of the Lord. Here we are again, you know, for another Bible study. Or, you know, if you fall into that, ooh, it's a dangerous thing. We want to count it a privilege. We don't deserve this to serve the Lord. You know, we don't deserve to have this great privilege. So we want to do it with thankfulness, joyfulness. Now, please go to Matthew 11. This is, there are some blessings that go with serving the Lord. Well, him will my Father honor. We saw that. And notice here, here's a blessing to your own soul. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now the coming, of course, is faith. And by the way, this is present tense imperative, which means you keep on coming. We come one time for salvation, right? We trusted him for our, as our Savior. But we keep on coming because we do labor and are heavy laden in this life, and he gives us rest. Literally means, I will rest you. like he said to the winds and waves, you know, peace be still. He can do that for our souls. But then also, take my yoke upon you. Now that's submission. There's a yoke in a Christian life. That's a voluntary submission to his will. And we find he's not a hard taskmaster. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know what is tough? Is, again, service to sin. And the way of transgressors is hard. They have no peace in their souls. Justin and I were talking about a man who's a co-worker of his that doesn't know the Lord, but he sees the unsaved with their prosperity sometimes, and their sin, and they don't get caught. And so the question is, what about the 11th hour salvation? That's what he's skeptical about. But think about this. Does the man who had the outward prosperity have any peace in his heart without Jesus Christ? No, he doesn't. Does he have fulfillment in his soul? No, he doesn't. And if he's living in sin, a person becomes held captive by that sin, according to the scriptures. Now let's go to Romans 6:22. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So there's a liberty in serving the Lord. Now, that's our primary point, but we'll go now into being servants of God's people. You can include just servants, being servant to man. Jesus said, again, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus himself exemplified Christian service. Now, I don't know that we can take the time right now to read John 13, but let me paraphrase it a little, if I may. It starts out saying, in fact, we're going to touch on it in the next service, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end, which means he loved them completely. And they were in the upper room. It was a secret meeting, which we're going to see in the next hour. It was prepared by God. And since it was a secret meeting, there was no servant at the door, which typically they would have, you know, to wash the disciples' feet as they came in. And so nobody offered. In fact, they had a discussion along the way who was going to be the greatest. And so Jesus put aside the outer garment, put on the apron, he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he spoke about how what I do now you don't know, but you're going to know hereafter. And the thought is this, I'm among you as he that serves. And in other words, and I'm an example. That's it. And he was willing to do that, humbled to do that. And so we want to do that. Now some brethren take that in a literal sense, to wash one another's feet. Wouldn't really condemn that, but I don't think that's what that's teaching there. But rather a humble ministry, you know, to others. Are you willing? Are you willing to wash somebody else's feet? You know what the thought is. Are you willing to exhort a brother who maybe is in sin with the scriptures, or to maybe encourage another, you know, who needs a lifting up by the word of God? Are we willing, you know, to reach out to serve in that way? Now let's go to Romans 15, a shorter passage here. Romans 15, 2. Verse 1, rather. This is right after the context of you have a weaker brother, stronger brother. In chapter 14, verse 1, 15, 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of you please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So, Jesus didn't please himself to the neglect of the souls of men. No, Jesus pleased others. Now, let's go to a passage in Acts 10. It's an interesting one. Acts chapter 10, he went about doing good. 10:38. It's a general statement. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, it was all in compassion, right? And it was amazing the extent of that and the constant activity of the Lord Jesus Christ from morning to night, and how he did that in healing and teaching. And then please go to Mark chapter 10. He exemplified true greatness in serving. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I should have read the context. If we go back to verse 42, Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, which means your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And then it speaks of Jesus as the example. And please go to Luke 22:27, a key passage. So his whole life was a life of service. Our lives are to be lives of service. And there's a certain turning point, I believe, in a Christian's life when this happens. It can be just as dramatic as salvation itself. In Luke 22:27, Jesus said, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. So could we say that of ourselves? That this is what we are about. We are considering the needs of others. We are seeking to minister to others. And now this is all in the context of a local body. And if I get some time, we're going to get to forms of service, at least Roman numeral 3. When you come into a church, what's the viewpoint? I wonder how they'll treat me today. You know, I wonder if somebody will encourage me. I'm a little down. And maybe they will. But here's what should be the viewpoint. What did Jesus say? I am among you as he that serves. In other words, I'm looking for who I can reach out to. You want to do that at camp, right? What child can I minister to? How can I get close to be able to reach out to them? Or how can I reach an unsaved person for Christ? So very important. It's a mindset. So we are also to be the servants of others, not to please ourselves. Romans 15, where it uses Jesus as an example. Galatians 5 says, by love, serve one another. And so that ought to be our motto. And to follow in the path of true greatness by serving. Now we looked at Mark, but please go to 1 Corinthians 9. And again, of course, love is behind it, above all. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain more. Pretty general statement. It already happened, right, in Paul's life. He was already committed that way. Like Nathan brought it out, Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want to have it decided? You have it decided yet? This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do with my life. It is my own, giving it over to the Lord. Really dedication is behind this thing of serving. We're going to get to that maybe next week. Now, I want to go into practical applications of this, and since this is a study on ecclesiology and the local church in particular, the question might be, well, how can I serve? And or how would you want to serve? Or in what way do you think you would be gifted to serve? Because every Christian ought to serve, right? There is the work of the ministry that Christians are to be involved in some capacity. And it is a team effort, you know, it's like an orchestra. Everybody has their instrument that they're playing. And you want to do it in harmony. It's like in the choir, Nathan says. Now you want to sing a divine where you can hear others. You hear the other parts, you know. You don't toot your own horn too loud. But let me continue on this thought. A primary goal, the leadership of a good local body, is to recognize spiritual gifts and seek to develop believers to the fullest potential. We did a separate study on spiritual gifts. The following are various forms of Christian service, which may be opportunities as the Lord leads. And now, I almost wish I would have taken the preparation qualifications first, but a person might say, well, how do I know how I'm to serve the Lord? I was asked that yesterday. Well, you would want to grow in the Lord, you know, present your body a living sacrifice and grow in Him, and God will plug you in. That's a crude way of putting it, maybe, but He will providentially give you the desire to serve in some capacity. Now, let's look at some of these practical applications. Offices of a church, pastor, elders, really a pastor is like a senior elder, deacons, treasurer, secretary. We did separate studies on elders and deacons you could refer to. So those are administrative type of gifts, and gifts of ministering the word, gifts of responsibility with finances, and so very important. And by the way, as we go through this list, I'm not intending to have order of importance. In fact, the last one is, if you didn't have that, you'd have nothing, right? Assembling for worship and mutual exhortation, encouragement. It's a ministry. But let's go through this. Ministries of God's Word in church, Bible classes, nursing homes, special meetings, personal discipleship, evangelism, door-to-door calling, home devotions. Now, you know, one of the dangers when you do this is we'll miss something. So if you're doing something and I missed it, I'm sorry. But there's a ministry of the word that everyone's involved in some capacity, right? Should be in home devotions. Or maybe you've led someone to the Lord, discipling, evangelism, door-to-door. That's a way of ministering the word. Or if you are one who is a faithful witness, might be on the job, in the neighborhood, but witnessing. Of course, in church, would have to do with, that involves some training, which we'll go into later. Some have Bible classes in the home or on the job. Nursing homes, that's a particular kind of ministry of the word. Special meetings, by that I mean we have ladies' meetings, or we had a picnic last night, so forth. So any ministry of the word, that's a very primary thing. Now, prayer. This is left out of a lot of churches, but it's very essential. Let's go to Ephesians 6. This is a ministry. This is a primary ministry. If you want to compare it to primary colors, this is a primary one. Ephesians 6:18. This acknowledges we can't do anything. With a Bible camp, you know, you can have a very important part of camp. You can pray for the camp all week. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Intercessory prayer, very important. Like J.O. Fraser, the missionary to inland China, he said, if he wrote ahead and he told about a village that he wanted to reach, it was like a boat flowing smoothly through water, you know, with oars. But if not, it's like on a boat on the ground. You just don't get anywhere. And then united prayer. I won't turn to all these for time, maybe, but where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. I can't quote it. Matthew 18:19, I'll agree, I'll do in heaven whatever you're agreed on in there, on earth. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So that indicates special blessing with united prayer. Let's go to Acts 1:14. You have it in the early church. Very important. Again, it's all voluntary, right? Or however, if you would want to do that. Not everybody's comfortable in that setting. Not everybody has to pray out loud either. The Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So So you wonder how they got into that Honda, you know. There was over 100 of them. Here, the one accord. And then Acts 2:42, here's where the first church was in Jerusalem, 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. I bet you in the early church they had a prayer meeting going all the time. So very important and very powerful. And then youth ministries, Sunday school, Bible club, camp, retreats. And there's so many facets of this. I know I don't have everything listed here. Transportation, crafts, recreation, kitchen. Nursery, vital, fundamental part of youth ministry directing or nursery work. And by the way, it all, especially Sunday school teaching, Bible club teaching, requires some training, and we'll get to that later, teacher training. And any ministry of the word is not a light thing, you know. You don't want to do that without some preparation. Be not many teachers, you shall receive the stricter judgment, James says. So, and then one might say, well, youth ministry, you don't have to know the Bible that well. Oh, yes, you need to know the Bible very well. And you have to know doctrine well to be able to simplify it. And, of course, there are a lot of tools that can help with that. Another subject. But then music, director of music, song leader, pianist, special music, vocal, instrumental, choir. It's a very important part of the local church. And a vital aspect to our worship. And this, I believe, is where many fundamental churches are going off today. You know, they got the band up here, the drums are beating, and everybody's a-rocking. And, yeah, hey, I should tell you, I went to rock concerts when I was a teenager and I wasn't saved yet. Can't see that in the church whatsoever. That has nothing to do with the worship of God in an honoring way in spirit and in truth. But that's a very extensive thing, and we want to honor God in our worship. There's a tape on that, Worship and Song, if you want to listen to that. It's done in 2000. It's on our website. This is your conviction on that. And Nathan, he's very conservative, so you got to go through him. And anyway, building and grounds, cleaning, mowing, maintenance, water system, fire alarm system. Now, we don't know all that Ray Rowe does over here, but there's a whole lot to it. There's more than meets the eye. Interior decorating, flower arranging and care, on and on and on with that. And so it's God's house. It's very important how God's house is presented. It represents Him. And then sound and recording, CDs and tapes, website, a lot of work that goes behind that. I'm not going to name all individual. You know who they are. And because if I do, I'll forget somebody. Financial giving, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, primary chapters on that, grace giving. Responsibility of funds, counting, depositing money, have responsible people for that, ushering, and then care for the sick or elderly. Now, all these are very important. Let's go to James 1:27. Actually, you could find scriptures for all these, but I have just a few. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You think that it's an insignificant thing to see some widow in her affliction? No. God's the Father of the fatherless and the judge of the widow. He has special compassion, and that's important. And then meals, there's a list of volunteer ladies that make meals. If you want to get on that. And then visitation, transportation, church fellowships, conference meals, coordinating, cooking. There's a whole lot that goes behind that. And then hosting, that could be for conferences, hospitality, to be given to hospitality, transportation, there's people picked up at the airport, and so forth. Bookstore, some work that goes behind that, to have good books available. And then bulletins, again, There's some work every week on that, and then distribution. Assembling for worship and mutual exhortation, encouragement. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Now you say, well, I don't know if that's serving the Lord. Oh, yes, that's serving the Lord. And in fact, it's maybe a one-on-one thing as well as a time of worship. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That word exhort can include encouraging. So all these are forms of ministries, 14 categories there. Maybe I forgot something. But you want to pray about that. And how would God want me to serve in the local church? How has God gifted me? How is He leading me? And we have been ordained in a certain good works that we should walk in them. And now a lot of prerequisites that go behind this, and if I can't go into it right now, I have a few minutes, so maybe I could. I wouldn't do justice to the thing, though. I'm going to try. We've seen before, or do we need time for the camp? Okay. Romans chapter 12 has to do with dedication, and we had a different, separate study on that. It's a prerequisite where I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And in other words, you're going to prove His good, perfect, acceptable will when you do that, because you're on the altar. You're putting yourself in a position where God can steer you. By the way, have you ever tried to steer a stationary vehicle? You can't do it right. You got to be moving for the Lord. He'll steer you, and He'll put you where He wants you. Providentially, open doors, give you the spiritual ability. And then, I won't turn to it, but a strong devotional life and the word and prayer are foundational. Remember Mary and Martha at Martha's house and how they're serving, making the meal. Jesus and His disciples are over. You want it to be just right. You ladies have had meals. It's a little stressful sometimes, right? And you're having some guests. Well, Martha got majorly stressed out. But Mary and Lord, tell Martha to come and, or Mary to help, come and help me. And Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much serving. You know, you can get stressed out in the service of the Lord. And what did she neglect? To sit at Jesus' feet and to hear His word. So, serving, you can have more output than input, and it's a dangerous thing if you do. You gotta be nourished in your own soul, right, to be able to serve with the grace of God. Daniel, busy man, three times a day opened his windows towards Jerusalem. So you're going to camp, some of you. You want to open your windows towards Jerusalem, right? You want to get time in prayer and time to nourish your own soul. Otherwise, you get pretty lean by the end of the week or in any form of Christian service in a local body. So, and by the way, it takes grace to serve, get along with others, suffer wrongfully, maintain unity. So got to be receiving that grace from God. And then must be corresponding Christian life and testimony that's necessary. For teaching ministries, there's theology studies. This is preparation and qualification. Theology studies, you don't want to get into teaching unless you really know theology. Ministry classes, hermeneutics, homiletics classes, teacher training for youth ministry are essential. Don't go into it lightly. And much study. And then you want to know the book. And then for music ministries, adequate preparation and ability are necessary. Doesn't mean you have to have a bachelor degree in music, you know. But there's some certain training involved. Faithfulness. Now, this is very important, brethren. Faithfulness is primary for all Christian service. In other words, can you be counted upon? Can God count upon you? And then accountability to the Lord for service will occur at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for believers. And I'll read this and close with this. You know, there's the judgment of the great white throne, which is for the unsaved. But this is, our judgment for sin took place at the cross if we are believers. However, there's a judgment for our works, our service. And the context here is the local body, by the way. He mentions the temple of God. In 3:11 says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, 10b says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay, you're on the foundation, Christ, when you're saved. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is, quality. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it'll all be judged at that day. So we want to look at our heart's motive and faith and love and for the glory of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And someday, by his grace, hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant, you did my will. And Paul said, I'm going to quote more accurately from the Greek, I make it my aim, whether present or absent, I might be well pleasing to him. And that day, I want to hear his commendation. Now, that's the bottom line. You want to hear his commendation. And so at most, we are unprofitable servants, meaning that we do that which is our duty. We don't do anything beyond what he's called us to do. Don't worry about somebody else. You remember Peter? What about this man? What about John? What's your will for him? You do my will, Peter. That's all. If we do his will, there's the fulfillment in life. So what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. And we can work together in this for a beautiful orchestra, right? Where for God is glorified and man is edified. And that's a testimony to the world, too, when a local church is a serving church. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for the privilege of serving. We pray, help us to do it well. Help us, Father, to do it with quality materials, with love and faith and with the Holy Spirit's enablement. And we pray, help us in this church, and we do pray, bless those that are in the camp. It really is a function of the church that it would be a good week of service for your glory and for man's benefit. In Jesus' name, amen.